I won't go and do now is play the first of those interviews I made up in Bloom. Actually, yesterday, the last day. It's always a great event. I know it was windy and sort of wet and all that. And it's like in part of the interviews with Gary Graham. It was the wind that was the problem yesterday. And Sunday, great day, and most of it pretty good. I think yesterday was the worst day of the lot. But everyone seemed to enjoy it. There were still thousands there yesterday. I remember being there. I said it to Gary 2 years ago on the Monday. And it was a horrific day and the place was jammed. And when I pulled into the car park yesterday, expecting to just park anywhere I wanted, it was pretty full. So people still going there. And of course, there was a lot of indoor activities and stuff like that. And terrific still things going on. Anyway, the first I talked to was the winner of the Super Garden. And that was Brian Burke. So we'll have a listen to that. Now I'm talking to Brian Burke, and he's the winner of Super Garden this year. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Well, the last day of Bloom, unfortunately, is a terrible day. But just admiring the garden, the first question I'm going to, what was it like going through the process of the Super Garden programme?
Well, it was challenging. I have to say that. It was the time frame is very compressed. You only get 5 weeks to meet your family, assess their needs, design the garden, construct it, finish it, have it judged. You know, it's a 5 week programme. So it's if you're ambitious with your design, you're doing a lot of construction. It's very, very fraught and can be very intense, you know. But the budget is also a major restriction. You get €5,000, which will barely cover the cost of your materials and your planting. So you have to beg, borrow and barter labour and help wherever you can get it. So it challenges you on all fronts. You know, your organisational skills, your construction skills, your horticultural skills, your man management skills. It's a major challenge.
It's a wonderful finish, a terrific design. So what came first? Had you got the idea in your head before you decided to enter for Super Garden, or did that come in the course of it?
No, I mean, the ideas evolve. Once you meet the family, you assess the space, and then you assess the needs of the family, you know. So the design emerges after you figure out what they want, you know, what they give you their priorities and their requirements. Some of their requirements are kind of wish list items. More of them are non-negotiable. In our case, the youngest child in the family, Eddie, had spina bifida, which meant he uses a mobility aid when he's outside. So access for him was paramount. That was non-negotiable. So we used compacted hogan paths, ballylust dust paths. There was low gradient ramps put in. All of the elements in the garden were constructed at a height that he could access in his mobility aid. So all of those things needed to be provided because the major requirement was to facilitate Eddie.
And to get so much into such a small space is absolutely terrific. Yeah. And the plant, everything you had in there as well, and some of the water features, getting it all into one space, terrific. You have to be congratulated on that.
Yeah, I'm very proud of her achievement. What I'm particularly proud of is the garden is wheelchair accessible and it's child focused, but neither of those things are immediately obvious when you walk into the space. So we've managed to incorporate those two major features while making it stylish, modern, contemporary family design. So I'm particularly proud of that.
And were you an amateur designer up to this?
Yeah, I mean, I have history of construction and landscape construction, but the design aspect of the whole process was pretty new to me. I've done some small designs for myself, and my horticultural knowledge I'm building on all the time, but that would have been my weak area. And then the design abilities is something I'm building on and adding to as I go all along, you know.
And can you see as a kind of a deficit maybe in future if people approach you to do something where you were talking about the restrictions with the finances and you had to rely on help and volunteers and all like that, and to get people to understand, well, listen, it's really going to cost a lot more than 5,000. Will that be a restriction in some way?
That is a little bit of a drawback. People look at the program and sometimes get fixated in their head that they can have a garden like that for 5,000, which is nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, the labour isn't factored in. In our particular case, when I taught up all the hours, all the man hours, the 14-hour days, all the help that we enlisted, you're probably looking at a bill of somewhere in the region of 20,000. Be more close to the truth as to a more true reflection of the cost of the garden.
But you've had a lot of curiosity, a lot of people over the course of the 5 days, I'm sure.
Absolutely. The interest has been phenomenal. I mean, the human interest element of the story with Eddie, the spina bifida, the accessibility, it really moved people and really sparked people's interest when they saw the show. So naturally, the interest interest. They've gravitated to me here at the show to see the garden in the flesh and see what it was like. And the questions, the positivity, the reaction has been phenomenal.
And do you have a website of your own that people can look up your work?
Absolutely. It's www.brianburkegardens.com.
And congratulations again, Brian.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Well, that's the first of our interviews from Bloom. We're going to play the other three, but I just wanted to point out that it just that was all outdoors and it was raining a little bit. But as I say, it was the wind, and I hope it doesn't interfere too much for enjoyment of the interviews. Now, talking to Joan Mallon, and she's the designer of the Goal Urban Garden. Hello, Joan. How are you?
Hello, Noel. How are you?
It's your third year here.
It is my third year here, yeah. 2013, I was here with the CFE Dundrum as part of the college group. Last year, I was here with my own garden, Cape Cod Escape, which was awarded a silver medal, and I'm delighted to be here again with Goal and awarded a gold medal.
Okay, now, this is your idea. This is your baby. So tell me about it, because it's an urban garden. What's the idea behind it?
Well, it's urban, all right, but it's based on urban informal settlements, or the slum, as we more commonly know them as. And it was an initiative of Goal. They wanted to highlight their work in urban areas, in the informal settlements. And they sent out the brief, and I responded to it and did a rough design. And it was only just after Easter that I met them, and they asked me would I go ahead and do it. So we've only been with this for about 8 weeks or 9 weeks at this stage, just after Easter.
Okay, now the wall that I have behind me here that's attached to the shed with the sort of pigeonholes and plants in it, tell me about that.
Well, that's the growing wall, and I suppose because we didn't have an awful lot of height and structure with trees, which you wouldn't get in the slums anyway, we wanted to have the wow factor for a show garden. And I told the story many times. I like the idea of an edible house, so that's where that came from. But it was the main aim of the garden is to highlight growing and how a few growing sacks, a bit of micro gardening using reclaimed materials can change the lives of people in the developing world.
Okay. Yeah. And of course, people can donate to Goal, which they do all the time. And this was something that you developed. I'm looking at the sheds around as well. Can you tell me about some of them, what they're all about?
They're not just sheds. This was the title of the garden is what you call a slum, I call home. They're people's homes. And about 4 million people in Nairobi alone live in slums. And, you know, I can't even think of the statistics off the top of my head, but around the world, how many people do live in such structures.
Have you seen them, yeah?
I did. I was fortunate enough to get out to Nairobi at the end of April, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, to actually see it and experience it and understand it for myself, how people live.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, like, with the small space that you're talking about and what they can do. Now, the greenery, to me, is a mystery. Will there be that available to them?
They do. They do grow in sacks, and these are the kind of initiatives that Goal want to do more on, to get people growing. They see it as potential, not poverty. Mm-hmm. And the provision of a couple of sacks and to train people how to do a couple of sacks or micro-gardens is huge. It's a huge change to people's lives, and that's what we're trying to promote here.
Yeah, because a lot of people would imagine the ground would be fertile.
It is, and you know, you couldn't cut. There isn't the space, but B, to cultivate a big space, which is why this micro garden and the sack garden is so successful. You can grow an awful lot in a sack and keep that alone fertile, as opposed to trying to cultivate a whole field or an allotment or any kind of community space. It's the micro gardens and the sack gardens that really work.
Okay, so people coming to have a look. I mean, I'm sure you'd had a lot of people looking at it. What would you like them to do?
I'd like them to think about other people and how other people live, and ultimately support Goal, but to get growing themselves. And you know, everyone can grow something if they just take a bit of time and a bit of interest, and it makes all the difference.
Any medals this year?
We got a gold medal.
Great, congratulations on that, John.
Thank you very much. No, we're delighted.
Thank you, John.
All right.
Now, I'm talking to Niall Maxwell, and he's the designer of the garden for Pieta House, From Darkness Into Light. Hello, Niall. How are you?
How are you doing? How are you?
Tell me about your association with Pieta House, how this all came about.
Yeah, just I had show garden before at Bloom, and I left 5 years ago kind of thinking if I was ever going to do it again. I was going to do it for a good cause. Pieta House were top of my list. And then just one of those chance meetings in a pub down in Ballydehob in County Cork last year, met a guy from my local area who worked in Pieta House, and we got talking. And he asked me would I be interested in doing a show garden for Pieta House, and I jumped on it.
And what's the concept now? It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke to the guys in Pieda House. We talked to Joan Freeman, the founder of Pieda House, and David Mitchell and Karen O'Shea. I spoke to them first, and a few ideas were thrown out. They obviously have a couple of different initiatives, Mind Our Men, the science campaign, but the Darkness Into Light, I knew I could work with on a design level and on a horticultural level to create a shady area, and then an area that would be lit by sun and we'd have more foliferous flowers in that area. So it took a while to distill the design. It took me a couple of months. The lads in organising Bloom were kind of screaming at me, "Niall, we know you're coming, but like, what the hell are you doing?" And I said, "I'm doing this one, and then next week I change it again." So it was a while in the design process. The build was simple. The build was just went like an absolute dream. The easiest show garden I've ever put together. But I suppose that idea of the journey that somebody might have to take to come out from behind the walls of isolation where they're on their own, take the path, come up to the therapy room where we have the two seats from Pieda House, from the therapy rooms in Pieda House, sit, and that's the point of where you start, and that's the point where good things can happen, basically, and you don't have to be stuck behind the walls.
Do you think that nature and gardens absolutely. In themselves are therapeutic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're like, I've had my own issues in the past, and nothing serious, but like anybody that works on themselves, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, it's tough. It can be really tough. And to be able to just go out, grab a spade, dig a hole, put a plant in, it's just so therapeutic. Things can become a whole lot clearer for you in your head. I suppose I grew up in North County Dublin. Agriculture in North County Dublin, it's in me, it comes naturally to me because of where I'm from, because of my mum, my dad, and their passion for growing, well, for my dad, my mum, vegetables, and that they love all that. For me, kind of go off and disarm the sort of the ornamental side of it and flowers and that. I just feel so privileged that I'm in this industry and that I can do something like this for Pieda House and get their message across. This weekend has been phenomenal. I've loved every moment of it, and I just can't be happier right now. We've absolutely swept up with awards, gold, best in show, designer's choice, people's choice. I think it's as much about the design as it is about Pieda House and the great work that they do, life-saving work that they do. Mm-hmm. And like that, it's just been a joy to be here all weekend.
Now, this is the last day, so you're able to talk about it in that sense. And apart from all the awards that you won, I mean, the reaction from the public, do you think people realise the importance of gardens and even parks and all these places that you can go to for this tranquility?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the middle of the Phoenix Park, which is a hangover from a previous rule. But they had, like, back when in the Industrial Revolution started, kind of give people a history of it, cities were being urbanized, people were coming from the countryside into the cities, and it was noticed at that stage that we need green spaces. As human beings, we need green spaces to interact with nature. It's so important, whether it's just a walk in a park or on a beach or wherever you are, or just to go out and look in your own garden at whatever it is there. It's so vital to us as human beings. We need to be in touch with nature to see things growing, to get our hands dirty. It's vital to us as human beings.
Okay. Do you have a website for? I know Pieda House has, but for yourself?
I don't. I purposely didn't put one up for the weekend because I didn't want to distract from the message of Pieda House. There will be one going up soon. It's not why I was here this weekend. I really didn't have one single business card. I wanted it to be all about the message that Pieda House wanted to get out there. So. Yeah, it's on the way.
I think you've gotten the message well across in the past 5 days. Noel Maxwell, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Cheers, thank you.
Now, I'm talking to Gary Graham, the organiser, of course, of Bloom on the last day. Hello, Gary, how are you?
Hey, Noel, how are you?
And I have to say, it's been a horrible day, but there's still thousands of people here. It amazed me. It was like this 2 years ago as well on a Monday.
Yeah, it's incredible. We had some good days there with over 20,000 in. Today, we knew it was going to be very wet. And actually, the rain isn't the issue, it's the wind. Mm-hmm. It's a bit uncomfortable. But we still had 11, 12,000 in today. So obviously, there were a lot of people out there. We still wanted to get to the show, and it didn't really matter what the the weather did, they were going to get here.
I think this is the worst year of the nine, isn't it?
In terms of the weather?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it is. Year one, we had about 3 days of rain. This year, it was a very different type of weather pattern. We had a lot of wind, a lot of cold days, some heavy showers. But it didn't really seem to put too many people off. I guess we're that well established now. No, people are not going to miss it. They know we have lots of marquees, lots of covered area. We've got plenty of trackway and stuff in there, so I think we can look after people okay.
Okay, now as I say, there's lots of things going on the weekend. One guy I was talking to, the manager of Antoshka last week, and he was saying that he is finding now that people are inspired over the past many years in Bloom and the urban gardens springing up and the allotments and all of that. So you have a lot to be, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what Bloom is all about. You know, my job and all my colleagues in Board Bay are working on the ornamental side of horticulture. We're just trying to get people excited and engaged, get them interested in gardening, particularly the people who might never have shown any interest. So it's very simple. Get them in here, give them a good time. It's a great day out, as you know. But while they're here, they will see something. They will be inspired to do something. So we get a lot of people spending money on plants and on food here at the show. Last year, we had almost 7 million spent at the show. I don't know what the figure would be this year. I'd say it'd be close enough. And then we do a measurement about 3 or 4 weeks after. It's a big piece of national research to see, well, how many people saw the TV coverage, how many people came to the show, and then what did you do? Did you actually go and do some gardening? Now, seeing me, the summer's going to start on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'd be very hopeful then that people be taking away the ideas or anything they've seen on the telly, or anything they've seen in print, anything they hear us talking about on the radio. They'll take those ideas away and they'll go and do some gardening and they'll discover the joys and benefits.
And, of course, we talk about the Chelsea show and sort of the inspiration where that's a little bit stale. We talked about this on the radio, where this is all about families and all like that. And yourself as well, fantastic coverage from the national media and all media indeed. And that's terrific as well. And you've become a bit of a personality.
Well, I don't know about that. Now, my job really is a facilitator. That's really what my job is. It's like we've got so many fantastic, creative garden designers, horticulturists, all the people down in the food area, all those chefs and so on. So I suppose really all I'm trying to do is provide them with a platform and let them do their thing. And that really is, I think, the essence of this show, because you do get to meet a lot of very creative, very passionate people, and you can't but be inspired by them. It is, you're right, it is a bit different from Chelsea and shows like that are very grown-up, serious affairs. We want to make it family-friendly. These kids are the future, so we've got to get them involved, get them interested, get them to understand where their food is coming from, get them to understand about plants and how important they are. So it is a different feel, it's a family feel, it's a bit more fun, a bit relaxed, but because we're Board Bia, we're not a horticulture society, we're never going to lose the opportunity to talk about good food, mm-hmm. talk about quality assurance, and getting all those fantastic artists and food producers, get them in there, give them the opportunity to show what they have.
And are you inspired every year when you see the diversity and the inspirations of the gardens, as well as the food indeed as well, as you mentioned?
Yeah, I am. Like, I suppose it's probably, this is year nine, it's probably 12, 15 years ago when I started making the case for us to have a proper national show like this. And I suppose because my background is in design, and I was contracting, I worked in garden centres, I did all that myself, and I knew we had the creativity, I knew we had the guys here, the guys and girls who could do good gardens. I don't think I ever realised just how good they were, and I didn't think I'd be standing here 9 years later, another 25 gardens. I don't know what that is that 250 fantastic gardens? It's a lot of gardens. So I suppose I am surprised by that. The food side, as you said, when we started doing Bloom, we knew, obviously, as I mentioned, we are Board Bia. If we were going to do food, we were going to do it well. I didn't think it would grow to the extent it has grown here, where you can actually get it's a kind of a slice of Irish agriculture. It's all in there. You can see just about every type of production, and you can see the output, and you can see the guys who are making fantastic food using those ingredients. Didn't realise that would get so big. But that's great. That's what makes the show different as well.
Yeah, and of course, get the access to it. You go out of your way to make sure everything is accessible, no matter what way you're travelling. And finally, I want to ask you, as you're walking around on the fifth day, is your head bubbling with ideas for next year and maybe different things and whatever? Can you?
I would say this every year we do, and we're just about to start now, we do a walk. All the management team will do a walk through the show, looking at it, okay, can we change that? Can we improve that? Okay, we got that wrong. Here's an idea for that area. Someone said this. And we start gathering all that. We do a major piece. Obviously, we had all our visitors. We did a big survey here across the 5 days. We do that every year. Get their ideas, their suggestions, if anything we can improve on. So we do that every year as a matter of course. But this year being year 9, next year being the big birthday, the big Bloom 10, okay. I think everyone's expectation is that we should do something special. And we have some interesting ideas around that, which I will not reveal at the moment. And we're looking for other ideas. Okay. And we're open to ideas, because we do want to mark the birthday. Now, what I'd say is the core of Bloom are the gardens and the food, and we'll do those. You know, we're not going to come up with gimmicks just for the sake of it. People expect to see quality gardens, and they want good food and a good overall experience, and we will do that. But yeah, we want to do something a little bit special for next year and all.
Okay, thank you very much, Gary. Thank you. Congratulations again, by the way. I'm looking forward to the 10th anniversary.
So am I.
Thank you.